You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
On Tuesday last week, the findings were released from the second phase of the government's COVID-19 inquiry. The inquiry broadly found that the Labor government's approach to managing COVID-19 followed evidence, had strong public approval, and left multiple opportunities for future learnings. While the inquiry acknowledges spaces where the government could have made improvements, dispensations were made due to the unprecedented nature of the COVID pandemic, and the report generally indicates that the government handled the situation well, given the available information. Last year, the government announced plans to create MCIRT, a new ministry for cities, environment, regions and transport. This ministry would merge the ministries for the environment, transport, housing and urban development, and the local government components of the Ministry for Internal Affairs. While the government says this change will increase efficiency and reduce bureaucratic bloat, critics say that the creation of a mega ministry could reduce the government's abilities to focus on any of its responsibilities individually. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, Simon Court, this week, I asked him about the second phase of the COVID-19 inquiry and about MCIRT. Well, I wanted to start off today with the second phase of the government's COVID-19 inquiry. What are the ACT Party's key takeaways from this inquiry?
Well, the report the subsequent Royal Commission has delivered provides that broader scrutiny that Labor originally tried to avoid. Their first inquiry looked narrowly at the response itself, not the wider consequences for people's lives. And the problem was that a necessary and vital emergency response turned into a much wider program of longer lockdowns and massive spending, including for things that went well beyond any relationship to COVID response. I mean, for example, where I live in Auckland, they've just finished building a walking track around the harbour, Upper Harbour Te Aratu Inlet there, which apparently was a shovel-ready fast-track project going back to 2021. So, I mean, they were just shoveling money out the door with no relationship at all to the necessary and vital COVID emergency response.
A lot of the stuff discussed in the inquiry mentions the fact that the government was dealing with a first-of-its-kind event and had very little evidence and very little public health infrastructure to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you think that's being too harsh on the government, given that they were not prepared and there was very little precedent for how to respond to an event like this?
I think the emergency response and the time that it took to work out what the risk to New Zealand was the right thing to do. There's no question that in the first few weeks and months of the pandemic, everyone was feeling their way. But, you know, unfortunately, they went far beyond that.
There's also what the ACT Party has been saying about vaccine mandates. The COVID-19 inquiry goes a bit into the public perception of the mandates. I'd like you to talk about that a bit. What is the ACT Party's perception of how the mandates were handled in Aotearoa?
Well, ACT said that mandating people to take a medical treatment is not fair and it's not reasonable. And that's why we advocated for if people who didn't want or feel that they could, for medical reasons, take the vaccine, they should have the opportunity to demonstrate through RAT testing or some other type of test that they were free from COVID before going. Was a fair and equitable way to deal with the fact that some employers, some workers were nervous about the risk of COVID coming into their workplace, but other workers justifiably and employers say, hey, we don't want to be subjected to a mandate to take what they felt was a potentially risky and novel medical treatment.
There's been some criticisms that the focus on the vaccine mandates has been a bit overblown, with a percentage mentioned in the inquiry, 74% of respondents found in a One News opinion poll in 2021 supported the mandates. Is it a bit, I mean, you know, we're 5 years on from that, is it still an important thing to be discussing?
Thousands of people were mandated out of their employment, including teachers, police officers, Defence Force personnel, medical staff. And, you know, you rightly point out that around a quarter of the population, when they were surveyed, said we don't agree with the mandates. Now, You don't tell a quarter of the population you're going to take the jab or you're not going to be allowed to work, come into your place of employment or education. Now, that is the actions of an authoritarian state. That's why ACT opposed it, and we said if there's a public health need, there must be another way to do this, which is, of course, to be able to use the RAT tests. But Labor banned the RAT tests and people who had imported them so they could use them with their workforce to actually determine, you know, who had a clear and present risk of COVID. That's the time when you had to wait days to get a result from a PCR test. Labor banned them and said it's a criminal offence to use them. Now, what the second inquiry has revealed, and what many of us knew at the time and were asking for at the time, is a much wider consideration of the costs and benefits of the type of policy choices that were made. And, we didn't argue with the fact that the government of the day took some decisions to close New Zealand's borders and impose movement restrictions while they got to grips with the scale of the pandemic and the risk to public health. But some years later, it's really, really important that we understand all of the costs and all of the potential benefits that they thought they were trying to get, and understand what did it do. People were locked out of their schools. I know many, many young people who were locked out of school because of lockdown, told to jump online and learn that way. They disengaged and they never returned to formal education. How many people missed saying goodbye to loved ones in their dying days, and how many people, missed seeing the birth of a new child into their family because they were unable to come to a hospital because of significant restrictions. But, on balance, we might say, necessary in some cases, but definitely not in others. We have to learn because we're going to be faced with another pandemic, another biological threat to New Zealand. It's in our top five risks that Civil Defence and Emergency Management plans for, and we need to have learned these lessons.
Just before we move on, I want to make a quick clarification. You said that 74% supporting meant that a quarter were opposed. The poll found that there were 20% who opposed and 6% who didn't know. Just
well, again,
for our listeners
again,
there.
Let's not split hairs for the listeners. Let's acknowledge there's a large group of New Zealanders who said, you shouldn't force me to take a novel medical treatment because I don't accept that the risks are fair to me, or I just don't accept to be told that I have to be injected with something in order to go to work or leave my house. That is not an unreasonable objection, and the reason the ACT Party exists is to say, look, it might not be popular, but we stand up for people's right to choose, your body, your choice, and that is one of ACT's core beliefs and core principles.
I wanted to move on to the government's decision to merge some ministries, creating the new Ministry for Cities, Environment, Regions and Transport, or MCIRT, merging the ministries for the Environment, Housing and Urban Development, Transport and the local government components of the Ministry for Internal Affairs. What's the rationale behind creating this new mega ministry?
Well, this ministry is about getting the basics lined up in the background so that government can help projects and programs happen in housing, transport and local government instead of getting in the way, because right now there's just too many agencies, there's too much overlap, and that means there's not enough accountability. So this reform and restructure is about establishing a clearer system, faster decision making and less bureaucracy, so we can get planning, transport, housing, environment and local government all working together properly.
There's concerns that folding in environment with these other ministries might lessen the focus on environmental advice, concerns over climate change. How would you respond to that?
Well, disagree. This restructure is about culling the bureaucracy, and because too many agencies mean too much waste, too much duplication of effort, and too many excuses why stuff can't get done. This reform is intended to simplify and deliver a smaller and more effective government that actually focuses on results. And, we're currently carrying out a resource management reform. I have the role of Undersecretary for Resource Management Reform, and delegated with Chris Bishop, delivering planning and a natural environment bills to improve our system. It's going to mean a much reduced scope of things for councils to do. It's going to mean that the effects that we're required to consider currently, de minimis or less than minor effects, councils are only going to have to consider actual effects on the environment and people. And the intention is that we speed up development. We know how to manage the environment well in so many different ways, and of course there's things that we still want to improve, but we don't need four separate ministries doing transport, housing, planning and environment, all offering different advice when we know what the answers are. We've just got to simplify the system, get it operational, and make sure councils are supported to through the transition so they can start delivering some of these benefits to Kiwis that we know are long overdue.
With this ministry, the ministries that are coming into it are some of our most important ministries, right? Environment, housing and urban development, transport and internal affairs. These are very important ministries that affect across the nation. Why are we making cuts to these ministries in the interest of efficiency as opposed to maybe some other ministries with less operational needs and providing less services, such as, the Ministry for Regulation, the Ministry for the South Island? There's many ministries that provide less than these ministries. Why make cuts here as opposed to there?
Because the ministries that we are restructuring each have their own multi-layered executive and chief executives. We don't need four of them. We can use one management layer to manage the outcomes from these from this new entity. So that's significant saving. And I'll just reiterate, for too long, both central government and local government, which this ministry will administer, have said no by default to development. And what this ministry is doing, it's setting the government side up to say yes to building, yes to infrastructure, yes to growth, cutting duplication and waste, making government simpler and more accountable, having one chief executive responsible for the outcomes we want in transport, housing, from planning and the environment and the local government function. That makes sense to most people. And I think you're going to see the results much quicker from the reforms we're putting in place around infrastructure funding and financing, resource management reform, and improving the efficiency of local government if you've got one agency and one chief executive responsible for delivering it.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about the second phase of the government's COVID-19 inquiry and the MCIRT ministry merger.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.